Blog Talk Radio.
Show that we talk about life's problems that may break or tear a heart's apart. Excuse me. On Reconnect My Heart, we discuss God's answers to life's problems to reconnect our hearts back to the way He richly made us. I'm your host, Brother Prayed. I'm so glad you're able to join us. If you have any questions, comments, if you just want to listen to the show, feel free to call me at 516-453-9118. That's 516-453-9118. Or you can go to any podcast distributor. You can type in Reconnect My Heart Podcast and you will be able to see us or hear us. I'm sorry. Hear us. Also, in case you want to see us, you can go to ReconnectMyHeartPodcast.com. You can go there. Or for those who may be on my mobile app, Brother Prater, you just go in where it says live podcast and you will see us on there. So, yes, we do have a podcast. Excuse me. We do have an app. Type in Brother Prater. You'll see my face on there. Just click on that and then you just type in, go to the page that says podcast live. You'll be able to see us. I want to thank each and every one of y'all who are tuning in and thank you so much for your prayers and support. We're going to go straight to the show. This was on my heart. I was praying, and one thing that God began to show me, a lot of us, especially as believers, and those that know me, I love to talk about us as believers in our Christian walk. A lot of times people feel like, well, you know, when you're saved, all your problems are over with. Well, we do have help. And sometimes some people may not be as strong as others. And so I want this to be an outlet for us to be able to get the help, get the resources, get the healing that we need, but most importantly, for all of us to be able to point to him, because God is our source, not people. God is our source, and ultimately God wants us to go to him, go to his word, consult with him. And so that's one of the things I wanted to make sure that I emphasize, because some people, they may feel like, well, you know, you never had a problem in the world. Well, guess what? As long as you're living in this world, you're going to have a situation. You may be in a situationship, and it don't just matter pertaining to dating. It could be pertaining to friendship. It could be pertaining to a job or whatever. But no matter what we deal with in this life, we have help. We have eternal help. So I want us to be able to think about that. So with that, yes, all of us as believers, we may need help at some point. That's why they call the term revival. Evangelism is for those who may not be saved or those who may be seekers. But reviving or revival is for believers. And so with that, there may be situations we may be dealing with in our life that we need some help. And so on today's episode, we want to talk about the episode called Deliverance from Doubt. Deliverance from Doubt. There may be some situation that you may have faced or you may be dealing with that sucks. You don't know what to do. And sometimes some people, they may question God or may doubt God pertaining to that particular situation. Now, let's look at what the biblical terminology of the word doubt means. Doubt is a weakness in faith that can be defined as wavering between two thoughts. Also, it can be lacking confidence in God and a situation with either doubting God or doubting his ability in a particular situation. You know, as many people, they get encouraged when they see God move in people's lives, in certain people's lives, and sometimes they even expect God to move in certain people's lives. They may feel like, you know what? Oh, if this person pray, everything gonna be all right. But they doubt their own ability to be able to reach God, get a prayer through, or for God to move in their life. And don't you know, those are real situations that goes on in the lives of some believers. And so we have to bring these things to light so that way we can grow in our faith. One of the things I always talk about is faith. Now, when I say faith, I'm going to talk about two faith. It's two different types of faith. Faith being salvation, but also the other faith is pertaining to receive, or looking at faith as a faith muscle pertaining to, let's just say you're praying about a certain situation, and some people say, oh, you're lacking faith. Think about faith as a faith muscle. Now, like I said, the faith pertaining to salvation, that's a totally different aspect. So what I'm going to do when I speak about faith, you having faith, or if you want to say having confidence, when I say faith, I'm going to speak about the faith muscle to be able to have things received or to pray to get a breakthrough or something like that. But when I talk about faith pertaining to salvation, I'm not going to use the word faith. I'm going to speak the word salvation. I'm going to speak the word salvation. So when I speak faith, I'm not speaking about salvation. I want you to understand that. Faith and salvation, like I said, two different things. So with the salvation, there are things that try to interfere in our belief in God. And so what we have to do, we have to know who God is and what can help us understand who God is. First and foremost, being able to study his word. I don't mean just reading, studying his word, meaning being able to do your research. And when you look up certain words, it's first of all having a Bible that's reader friendly. And when you get these Bibles, you'll be able to look up these words. And you can't use a regular dictionary like a Webster or something. You can't use them. You have to use a biblical dictionary for you to understand those particular words in its proper context. The reason why I say that, because we have to understand the Bible was not written in English. It was transliterated, meaning the original writing was in Hebrew and Greek and Arabic. And so what they did for them to transliterate it from Hebrew, Greek, Arabic to English, what they did, some of the words, they did not have the exact word transported to English. So they used a word that was similar. So that's one thing. So for you to be able to understand those particular words. So when we read God's word and have these Bible dictionaries for us to get the proper understanding of that word in its proper context in that particular verse, because it can be one word in different verses, but it can mean something totally different. So that's one thing we have to understand. Along with that, being able to study God's word, read, and also, excuse me, along with studying God's word, coupling yourself up in a small group Bible study and a church that's teaching, that's talking the word of God, and for you to be able to ask questions. One of the things we always tell people, there's no such thing as a dumb question. You have to ask questions, because how you going to know something if you don't ask something? That's something for us to think about. Now, I'm giving you some of the things that we need to do that's going to be able to help us to increase our confidence in God and his abilities. But also, one thing, kind of going backwards a little bit, but one thing we have to often think about is, we may have confidence in God. We may have confidence in God's word. But if God gives you an assignment, do you have confidence that you can do it? See, like I said, oftentimes that doubt interferes with our belief or our confidence in God, our belief and confidence in what God said, or our ability when God tells us to do something. And don't you know, right now there are so many people, they have gotten a word or a revelation from God to do something, but excuse me, but they're sitting right there. And don't you know, the devil tries so badly to interfere with the plans that God has for you. Right now, don't you know, the devil going to try to bring up any, excuse me, let me get some water right quick. Going to try to bring up any and every excuse for you not to do it. Any and every excuse for you to not to do what God is impressing upon your heart. Even with that doubt, sometimes God, not God, but sometimes the devil will make you doubt. Did God really tell you to do that? Or did God tell you that himself? The devil tries so bad, excuse me, so badly to make you doubt what you heard. He would do that. And so what happens, we have to be able to learn and know the voice of God. The Bible tells us that, you know, my sheep know my voice. And we have to know God's voice. How do we know God's voice? Spending quality time with him. But also understanding, when you begin to learn God's voice, learn God's language, what happened is, when you begin to start hearing things, you're going to be able to have the response of peace where you know it's God. God will always, listen, God's word will always bring you God's peace. God's word will bring you God's peace and God's confidence. But in case there are some doubt, realize that God is not the author of confusion. So that's why it's so important for us to examine every thought. The Bible tells us, take every thought captive, every thought, and examine it with God's word. It is so important for us to do that. And so with that, we have to be able to understand, like I said, when we think about that particular doubt, first of all, what are we doubting? Let's really break down. What are we doubting? Okay, are we doubting God? Okay, let's look at a healthy conversation. If you doubt God's ability in a particular situation, now what you have to do to combat that, start studying God's character and nature concerning that particular situation. Okay, so if you're going through something, okay, oh boy, will God heal me from that? Okay, so are we doubting that God is a healer? Now, what do we do? We start doing research pertaining to seeing if God is a healer. That's a healthy question. Does God heal? Can he heal? Okay, let's start doing some research. Let's look and see, did God heal in any time in history? Oh, there are several evidence that showed that God has healed in the Bible. Okay, now let's look at not just in the Bible, but let's start doing some investigative work. Let's see if there's somebody that we can call, that we can talk to, that God has healed. Okay, because what happened oftentimes, we see what God have done in the Bible, but so many people feel like God did it in the Bible time, but he can't do it in this time. So that's why it's so important for us to start centering ourselves around people that are strong in the faith. That's why if anything happened, we can be able to call someone. We can reach out to someone to just have a conversation with them to ask them, hey, can God hear? Did anything happen in your life where you required healing? So now that person can tell you their testimony. That's why it's so important. Even some churches, they exit out with testimony. They have counted testimony out because some people, they don't give testimonies. They don't give the glory to God. They don't give God the glory. They don't give the glory to the problem solver. Some of them give glory to the problem, or they use testimony to vent or talk about their own agenda. And so what happened, they have discouraged some leaders from allowing testimony. So to prevent that, because the worst thing that somebody can do is be in an open forum with an open mic and end up saying anything. And so now what happened is some churches, they say, you know what, either we're not going to have testimony, or they find out, hey, this person have a testimony. So what they'll do, they'll have that person write it out. And, you know, they talk to the person beforehand. Hey, share their story. Tell what happened and tell what God has done. And that's it. So that's why it's so important about testimony. It encourages others to let people know what God can do and that God can do it for them. And so with that, if you look and see, can God heal? Okay, we see he can heal. Oh, and it was just on one occasion? No, multiple occasions that you have encountered people that have experienced the healing of God. Okay, so now you center yourself around people that's, number one, that's going to challenge you to study his word, but also their strength in number. You want to make sure that you couple yourself around people that can get a prayer through. I often think about in the Bible, it tells the story of the lame man that was in the bed, and his friends were so desperate for his friend to get to Jesus. So what did they do? They went to a stranger's house and put a hole through the roof and lowered the bed to make sure that that person in the bed could get close to Jesus. That's a friend. So do you have any friends that way? Do you have any friends that will be adamant about making sure that you get close to Jesus? Examine the people that you call your circle. Don't you know your circle? Look at your circle as intercessors. You should have strong people that's going to be able to challenge you and get a prayer through, hold you accountable. These are the people that's going to help you to what? To not only remove doubt, but insert confidence in God and in His ability, and also even encourage you that you can do it and you can make it. What you have to look at, even when you examine the people, you have to look and see those type of people that you are allowing within your circle. Are you choosing them based upon their qualities, or are you choosing them based upon potential? Because there are some people, when they're based upon potential, they don't ever reach their reality. They don't reach their potential. You got to understand who they are, and also understand that this is a faith walk that you need to make sure that you have people that's going to help you. Understand that, hey, salvation is an individual thing. So you want to make sure that you have your group that's going to hold you accountable, that's going to help you in your Christian walk. Because some of us in this life, we go through journeys, we go through situations and stuff, and you're going to really need somebody that's going to get a prayer through. But if you're going through, and look here, the person you expecting to help you, they end up running. Hey, what you going to do? So that's why it's so important for you to center yourself around people that can get a prayer through. And so with that, I want to make sure that we go straight to the source to understanding that with that doubt, God wants to deliver us from any doubt, not just insecurity pertaining to personal identity, but also any lacking of confidence that we have in God and His abilities. You know, when we look at all through our scriptures, when we look at the original word or phrase pertaining to the meaning of the name of God, it's actually talking about His character or His nature pertaining to those particular scriptures. There are so many different characters and nature that we have pertaining to God in our resources that we can use to help us in our journey of life. God can help us to increase in our faith and our knowledge if we start researching, if we start looking at what God's word says and applying it to our life. One of the things I always say, when you read certain scriptures, instead of saying thou, or even instead of saying you, put your name in it. You will be blessed. God can do this, but make sure that you look at the scriptures, and for you to be able to look at it, you know what? I can do this. The Bible tells us that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, or who gives us the ability, or who enables us. And so with that, when you examine, why are you doubting? Why are you doubting? Some of the things that make us doubt, we look at the life of other people. Just because God may not have moved based upon what they think God moved, just because it did not happen in their life does not mean it won't happen in your life. Do you know their backstory? Do you know their prayer life? And not only that, but what if God is telling them no for a reason? What if they're praying about something and God is telling them, hey, this is not what I have for you. I got something else for you. Time what happened, we look at and judge God based upon the actions of other people's lives. No, we got to look at what God can do, not just pertaining to what He's done in the Bible time, but even looking at our own life. Because what we got to do, we got to examine the other people. And if we're looking at, well, you know, God didn't look, God didn't do it for grandmama. God didn't do it for my mama. So I guess that means God ain't going to do it for me. The devil is a lie. No. You have to look at, you know what, God, if it didn't happen in grandmama's life or in my life, first of all, I know you can do all things. Just like the Hebrew boys, they said, look here, God can deliver us from this fiery furnace. But just in case he doesn't, we know he can. God has the ability. So God has the ability to give to us or to do for us. But we need to know, is it God's will for us to receive that in our life? Let's start talking to God and communicating with God and examining ourselves to see, are we in rhythm in receiving what we desire from God? Now, not just desiring for what we want, but also there may be a move. It may be something, like I said, like so many people, they feel like, well, you know, it'll never happen. Or I've heard so many people that are believers, they speak more doubt than faith. They speak more doubt than courage. They speak discouragement. It's some, let's be honest, there's a lot of believers that are depressed. There's a lot of believers that are negative. Let's be honest. They are. Their natural response, oh, my Lord, if it ain't one thing, it's another. Oh, my Lord. You just really pay attention and listen to their response. Like I said, we're not knocking them, because to be honest with you, if you ain't careful, life can hit you so hard, you end up saying something worse than what you're condemning somebody else about. So this is not to throw shade at anybody, but no, this is to encourage each and every one of us, because I can't look down on my brother for what he dealing with or how he responds when he hasn't hit me yet. Or it may or may not hit me. Or if it does hit me, my response may be worse than his. So my thing is to pray. The Bible tells us to pray for each other and be there. Be there, not being judgmental, but to be encouraging to them. Like I said, there are some people, I'm going to throw this out there. Yeah, there are some people I look at, they may not be able to handle stress like some people. Everybody has a button. Everybody has a button. Some people, if you want to say a button or a fuse. Some people fuse may be long, but there are some people fuse that may be so short, if you just touch the button, if you just look in the front, oh, they're ready to throw down. And yes, and I'm talking about believers in the church, yes. But what we have to do, we have to understand that, yes, everybody may have a button or everybody may have a fuse, regardless if it's short, long, but we all have something. And like I said, our response may be different, but it's so important for us to pray for each other. The reason why I brought that up is because, well, let's just say in my stress level or the way I respond to stress, you know what? I might smoke. Now, I don't, but I'm just giving an example. As a believer, yeah, I may smoke. My nerves may be bad and, you know, God help me, blah, 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 blah. But then all of a sudden, this person right here, this person may not handle it the way I do. This person may handle it better. This person over there may cuss. I don't need deliverance from something, but just because that person cursed, just because I smoke, that doesn't mean that they give that person that doesn't do either the license to put either one of us down. You know what that person needs to do? Hey, that person needs to be encouraging. Hey, you don't have to. Blah, 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 blah. You can do this. Hey, 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 if you feel the urge, if you feel like smoking, hey, hey, just call me. Because actually, that person vice may be smoking. That person's vice may be drinking or cussing. Mine may be smoking, but this person right here, they may not do either, but you know what they're doing? They're doing something. They're being judgmental, or they're being a gossiper. So when you look at it, that's a spiritual condition, just like mine. Hey, I may not be able to handle, but it is so important for us to band together and help one another. That's why, like I always say, we don't have time to point our finger at somebody and put our thumb at somebody when we need to be uplifting everybody. But also, hey, look here. My situation, yeah, you see me smoking, you see me smoking. But when you get to the source of it, the smoking is just a response from a deeper situation. That person that's cussing, hey, it may be a deeper situation that needs to be addressed. We just seeing the response that he's cussing, drinking. This person right here may be smoking. Nah, but let's talk, because there may be some hidden things that we need to intercede and pray for that person to be delivered. So that's one thing I always talk about. Look, I can't put my finger at you because, yeah, I'm talking about you. I'm talking about you. You're drinking, you're smoking, you're doing this, you're doing that. And you handle it from what you know about. Yeah, you may not have grown up in church like myself, but that doesn't give me permission to look down upon you. Yeah, you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Yeah. The penalty of sin is removed, but we still got to deal with of sin. Yes. And so, yeah, I might be stressed. I might need to be delivered from my attitude, or I might need to be delivered from allowing people to push my buttons. And so with that being said, yes. First of all, yeah, there may be some things that some people need to be delivered from. Some people need to be delivered from being judgmental. Some people need to be delivered from being lazy. Some people snap at people. Some people, they say they love people, they don't know how to exhibit love. They don't know how to allow their actions to correspond with their words. So that's why, first and foremost, I'm not your Savior, and you're not my Savior. But we serve someone that is available to save and deliver all of us, all of us. So whatever your vice or your thing is, Jesus is a healer of everything. And so, like I said, this is not to give people a license to do something that is unhealthy. No, but what I'm saying is God is concerned about everything pertaining to what we deal with or whatever hangups that we have. God can heal, deliver, and set you free. And it don't have to take a 12-step program. Number one, there are some people, because, and I feel the need to say this. There are some people ask God to deliver them, and they were able to stop doing what they needed deliverance from. And then as time went on, next thing you know, they see themselves boom, slip. They see themselves fall back into the trap that they did, even if it was once. And then they question, wow, was I really saved? Was I really delivered? The answer is yes, you are. And yes, you were, and yes, you are. What happened? Don't you know the devil going to try to bring back? But even if you fall back, even if, number one, remember, God is married to the backslider. What that mean if somebody left out? Yeah, but no matter what, God is committed, but God wants you to be committed to him. But also on the same token, realizing that just because you may have failed, hey, ask God to forgive you, mean it, pick yourself up, and keep on moving forward. Don't stand still thinking, oh my gosh, it's over with now. No. Forgive yourself, love yourself, and unfortunately, so many people, we were speaking about in Sunday school lesson today, so many people, they find it easier to forgive strangers than the person that they sleep with and they live with and the person that's in their mirror. They find it's harder for them to forgive themselves, but it's easier to forgive a complete stranger. But you live with yourself. You know yourself. Look, if God can forgive you, what make it hard for you to forgive yourself? And so even with that doubt, Yes, there are things that may have transpired in our life that may have distorted our confidence in God or our confidence in God's ability. And so that's why it's so important for you to examine the root cause of that particular thing. Now, what are you doubting? One of the things I always tell people, hey, write it down. Write stuff down. Look at every situation as a homework assignment. Because unfortunately, many of us, let's be honest, many of us in secular school, we weren't good students. But now we got an opportunity to do better by implementing what we didn't do in secular school. Now we can do it in our spiritual school. If you didn't do it in regular class, now you can do it in your Sunday school class. You can do it, but you got to want it. You got to want it. So, yes, do your research. What are you doubting? Okay, well, you doubt that God could do it for you. Okay, let's write that down. You're doubting that God can do it for you. Now, let's look at, does God want to do it for you? Look at his word. But also what I found out, the Bible would give you a general message, but what you got to do in fasting and praying for God to give you the revelation, to give you the specific answer from that general statement of the scriptures. You got to be able to fast and pray. The Bible tells us some things come. They're my favorite scripture, Mark 9:29. But some things come by prayer and fasting. It's like when we eat, we feed our physical body. When we eat, it switches the knob, our physical body. We feed our physical body the physical food. But when you're fasting, you turn the switch from the physical body to the spiritual body. And so what you do in fasting, proper fasting is denying yourself of food and drink. Now, I will say this. It's okay to drink water. Yes, it's okay to drink water. But especially if you have a health condition, we always tell people, hey, consult your doctor. Consult your doctor. And so with that, when you fast, you're strengthening your spiritual body, and you keep your spiritual body on high alert to be sensitive to the voice of God. And don't you know God can speak to you at any time? Not just when you're up, not just when you're praying, but even while you sleep, God will wake you up and give you a revelation. God will give you a dream. I love dreams. I love hearing about people's dreams or visions and stuff. I love hearing them because those are one of the many ways God communicates with us, with dreams, with visions, open visions, for us to be able to hear his voice audibly. Yes, God speaks. God will tell you something, and this small, still voice comes with it. And so God, oftentimes God will tell us certain things so that way we can be able to do exploits. We can be able to know that it's him. God wants us to spend quality time with him so we can know his voice. We have to know his voice. You can't know someone's voice if you don't spend quality time with them. But also, God will always tell you something that lines up with his word. God's not going to tell you something that's going to go against his word or his nature. And so for us to understand, because like I always say, God is not the author of confusion. And you hearing God tell you something, but all of a sudden hear somebody else, and God and somebody else to tell you, well, you need to do this. No, that's not what I heard, God. Well, I'm telling you, you need. No. One of the things I always tell people, if somebody tell you that God told them to tell you, God will always give you confirmation. But the first thing God going to tell you first, and everybody else may or may not be confirmation. But what we got to do, we got to stop being people chasers to try to get a revelation from God when God's trying to tell you directly. What happened, that causes confusion, and we end up idolizing people instead of worshiping God. I hear and I see so many people. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to say this. I love different gifts in the body of Christ. But some people, instead of them pursuing God and seeking God, they'll go to a prophet. They'll go to someone else to ask them. And they're going to them first. Or instead of them going to God, they go to that person. And what happened, like I said, they end up idolizing that particular person or that particular gift. And what happened, we end up pushing God out the way and pushing people into the way. And we start following gifts. We start following people instead of going to God for ourselves. Don't you know people are resources, but God is the source. So that's why it's so important for us to get connected to the source, not the resource. Because if you think about it, think about resources as a second outlet that can blow out. It can be a power outage. But when we deal with the source, when we deal with the source, God himself, look here, power outage in the power of God. But there are power outages in people. And think about it. We are created from God. Why go to a creation when God wants us to go to the creator? Don't you know God is trying to tell you something that's fresh off the press? God wants to tell you directly. And so hopefully you know you. Look here, nobody should be coming to you to tell you about you when you can go to God. Now, like I said, there are people that God may use. God may using someone to speak a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, word of insight. But the thing is, you're not seeking them. You're seeking him. And because you're seeking him, God may use someone to come speak to you to give you confirmation, to let you know, yes, it was God. But when you start seeking people, then what happened? You become a pleaser. And so with that, yes, looking at doubt, why are you doubting? First of all, what are you doubting? What are you doubting? Okay, let's look at, are you doubting, like I said, are you doubting God's ability as a healer, as a provider? You're looking for a job. You're asking God to help you find a job. Okay, you're asking God for a job. You're asking God to increase your finances. You need to have your needs met. Okay, are you doubting God in that area? Okay, so let's just say you're doubting God in that area. Now, let's look at, like I said, all throughout the Bible, God has made provisions. God has made a way. So that means he can do it. God can heal. Yes, he can. He can heal. Now, we know he can do it, but there are some responsibilities that we have on our end that we have to follow through with. For example, if I need God to bless me financially, and I'm questioning, can he? Now I realize that he can. Now what we're going to do is understand that I know that God can do it, and God may supply me with funds through somebody, or he may give me a strategy of budgeting what I have, and next thing you know, he'll allow that to increase, and because I know how to manage, now I'm able to have some resources, and then I can be able to do what I need to do, and based upon my obedience in that, he will make things multiply, because I am a good steward. That's financially. Now, also pertaining to physically, thank the Lord. I bit my tongue and didn't feel it. But now we're going to look at, let's just say, healing. Okay, I made a mistake. Okay, I did something I wasn't supposed to. God forgive me. I ended up doing some foolish acts in the past. God, Can you heal my body? Okay, I see God can heal. Now, what do I have to do? I have to do my part and first consult with my doctor. What plan of action do I need to do to get healed or get delivered from this particular ailment? Okay, the doctor may say, okay, you need to lose some weight. You need to eat better. You need to cut out this. You need to cut out that. Whatever instructions that the doctor gives me, I'm going to do it. I don't care how I pray over it. Well, you know what, God, you know, God, you're going to hear me. God, you're going to hear me. But God can hear me, excuse me, God can hear me through my obedience to the instructions that I received. Let me tell you this. I can, let's just say if I'm taking medication. If I'm taking particular medication, okay, God, you're going to hear me from these medications. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to follow my doctor's orders. I'm going to lose some weight. I'm going to exercise. I'm going to continue to take this medicine. But that doesn't mean that you're down. That means you're just being wise and being obedient. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to take this medicine as I incorporate my exercise and this and that. And so what I'm going to do, instead of going to the doctor yearly, what I'm going to do, I'm going to see if I can go quarterly to get an update, because I'm expecting change based on my obedience, where there will no longer be a need for me to take the medicine because I did my part in obeying what God told the doctors. I'm obeying God through the instructions of the doctors. You see what I'm saying? Now, yes, some people say, well, you know what? Doctors don't know everything. That's the reason why you got to do your part. You got to do your research. You got to do your research. Do your research. Eat healthy. Eat, you know, eat fruits, eat vegetables. Do the things that you're supposed to do. See, you shouldn't rely upon somebody to study you more than you. Whatever hang-up that you have, that's your homework assignment. Whatever you need deliverance from, that's your homework assignment. That's your homework assignment. See, doc, first of all, one thing my sister used to always say, doctors practice medicine, but God perfects healing. But also, being able to be, let's say, a doctor, whatever, they're looking at a broad different things. But your condition, you can do specific research. You can fine-tune your studying. You should be able to have that as your favorite subject other than, you know, studying the Word of God. Whatever ailment that you do, look here, do your research. Have you noticed, good example, when celebrities or certain people, when they go through a certain situation, they begin to be the spokesperson for that to educate others. So whatever situation that you're dealing with, are you educating yourself about that? Or are you just going by what somebody else say? You need to know firsthand basis pertaining to whatever subject that you need to study, you need to study that. Don't rely upon somebody else, because nobody going to be as passionate about that subject matter than you. That's why it's your responsibility to do it. Along with that, okay, now we're looking at what needs to be done. Matter of fact, I'm going to throw something else also. Let's just say that I need God to heal me from the debt or my glasses. I just say this. I want God to deliver me from glasses, you know, wearing glasses. What am I going to do? I'm going to eat. Also, I'm going to do eye exercises. Yeah, there are such things as eye exercises and stuff. But what I found that if you notice, you're wearing glasses. I found this out the other day. You wear glasses. And then if you notice, each year the prescription gets stronger. If it doesn't remain the same, it gets stronger. It gets stronger. But we're wearing something that's supposed to help our eyesight. But we're wearing something that's supposed to help our eyesight. But in fact, it's getting stronger. It seems like it's getting weaker because the prescription is getting stronger. Yeah, so we got to do some exercise pertaining to our eyes, and they say rest and some more other things that help the strength or the health of our eyes. Think about that. So yes, let's look at what are we doubting God about. Like I said, can God do it? God can do any and everything. All things are possible to him that believe. God can do anything. Now, let's look at his ability. Does he want to do it for you? You know, matter of fact, I heard somebody say, well, you know, if it's God's will. What is God's will? God's will is his word. They do research and find out if that's God's will for your life. And speak to him about it. Speak to him about it. Do your research. Now, seeing if God can do it, see, does God want to do it for you? Now, the other step is to see, are you a worthy recipient of receiving what you ask God for? Most of the time, what we look at when things don't happen in our life is either one of three things. It must be something wrong with God, something wrong with God's word, or something wrong with us. So if God and his word are in unison, then it must be the latter. It must be something wrong with us. Are we lining up with God's word? Are we believing or having confidence in God and his word? Or are we lining up with his word? Is there some shortage in us? Or what if God not saying no? We expect God to say yes, meaning yes right now. But what if God is saying not yet? Now there's a waiting period. What is that waiting period? That waiting period may be, it may not be in this appointed time, but for whatever reason, we have to trust God in his timing. Because what we have to be as believers, we have to learn to be patient. We have to be patient because there's a bigger goal that we may not see, but God knows. Like I said, the timing, I'm going to say it like this. Some people, they may want something right now so badly, but they linked up with someone. They got a boyfriend or they got a girlfriend. That's not for them. And God said, no, no, no. Because number one, the people that you choose in your life, they're going to sabotage your blessing. They're going to sabotage it. You need to get rid of that person for you to be able to get this. For whatever reason, there's a variety of things that God may be having us on hold or having us in the waiting room of life. And so we have to trust God and his time and trust his heart, because what we always hear, God has our best interest at heart. God has our best interest in mind. And so with that doubt, whatever the reason is, know that God wanted to deliver you from that. But also now, speaking about salvation being the faith, excuse me, salvation. First and foremost, God is a healer and a deliverer. And with that salvation, think about that salvation where you are secured in your relationship with God. But the devil tries so badly to remove or make you walk away from the faith. The devil trying so badly. Like I said, the devil going to try to throw these bells and whistles, try to insert some thoughts in your mind. God doesn't love you. He doesn't care about you. Why did that happen to you? There are some things that happen. It's called life. There are some things that are out of our control. But also on the same token, there are some things, because the results of other people's choices, we may end up dealing with part of the consequences. Those that know me, I believe in being real and transparent. I'm going to tell you this. You know, when I lost my sister Sheila, the first thing I did, I prayed. I didn't pray in despair. And this not mean, oh, you're so strong. No. Because number one, I'm still brother. I'm still Sheila's brother. I'm still the son of Charles and Ruby. And I'm still the brother of Jerry, Ronnie, and Walter. Still a human being. So that doesn't mean that I was so strong. What I recognized was I needed God. You have to allow God to be your first response. Your first response has to be going to God. And so what happened when I found out that Sheila passed, the first thing I did, I went into prayer, and I thanked God for 45 years with Sheila. Matter of fact, this coming Friday, didn't even think about it. This coming Friday, September the 13th, it would have been her 51st birthday. 51st birthday. Sheila would have been turning 51 on this coming up Friday. But what happened, I was praying. And as I was praying, I knew God was a healer. Did I feel, like I said, all of this was fresh. Never lost a sibling before. I lost a best friend, but never lost a sibling before. Especially. And so what I did, I immediately went to God. And I realized, yes, I need him right now. But I also recognize I'm going to need him in this particular area for the rest of my life. And so, yeah, the devil, yeah, and I'm a preacher. The devil brought some thoughts. Yeah, that's his job. That doesn't mean because you're a preacher. That doesn't mean that you're an apostle. That doesn't mean because you're saved, the devil not going to come up to you. The devil is a lie. The devil will come to you. There's an old saying that says you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop a bird from building a nest upon your head. Yeah. And so what happened, the devil tried to say these words. The devil tried to throw these accusations at God because of me losing my sister, especially the way she was killed. No. But I recognized that wasn't God's fault. That was the devil. That was the devil. But what I did in my time of worship, thanking God for 45 years with Sheila, and as I began to lay on the ground prostrated and thanking God and reverencing God and praying for my family and praying for those that are connected, because it was so fresh, I knew and I felt the heaviness. I felt the weight of the people that loved Sheila. And so what I realized, yeah, the devil going to try to separate. The devil going to try to make you feel in situations. The devil going to make you feel, you see, if God really loved you, he wouldn't allow this to happen. Hey, you know, and being honest, when things happen, you got to look at it and say, you know what, in spite of how it happened, in spite of what happened, God, I thank you and I'm trusting you. We got to be able to trust God even in the darkest hours. Does it mean it feels good? No, indeed. But our faith walk based upon our feelings. It got to be based upon our faith. And so, yes, I had to allow my faith. First of all, even like I said, even with the devil trying to bring up, matter of fact, and this is something personal that he did towards me, because God delivered me from low self-esteem when I was young and all this, when I was younger. And so, what the devil tried to do was, see, for the first time, you alone, you ain't got your sister. Like those that know me and those that have my book, Sheila was born 3 days before my first birthday. And then Sheila came home on the day of my birthday. My first birthday, I got a gift called Sheila for my first birthday. I got a gift called a sister for my first birthday. So we've been knowing each other all of our lives. We've been ride or die. And so all of a sudden, the devil, well, you know, what you gonna do for your birthday? You know, you don't have your girl to be with you on your birthday no more. You know, you ain't got just a, and plus, you know, the insecurity that I used to deal with, the devil tried to bring that back. Yeah, yeah. But you know what I had to do? I said, God, I'm trusting you in this situation. I'm trusting you. I don't feel good, but you know what? I'm not going to mind my feelings. Even the intercessor prayers that people are praying for us, and also them stored up prayers. When I pray, when things are going well, God, I'm relying upon those prayers to implement when I'm not feeling so well. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm telling you, the devil going to try to test you. The devil going to try to tempt you. And the devil may even try to use situations pertaining to grief, any other relationship, or divorce, whatever it is. The devil going to try to have some type of event to happen to make you doubt God's ability in your life, to make you doubt who God is in your life. The devil try to make you doubt that God can do it for you. That's his job. But your job is to seek God like never before. Your job is not to sit there and allow yourself to have a pity party, but have a celebration party, a praise party, knowing that God gonna make a way, even if you don't see a way. I want to encourage you, whatever that situation is that you may have dealt with, the devil trying to make you question, the devil trying to make you doubt, yeah, he doing, look here, it might be painful, but you do more studying. You do more study, do more fasting. Like I said, center yourself around people that's going to speak God's word, and there are an example, that are an example. You've seen people, you know, live the life in front of you. Not just how they act, you know, in public, but how they are in a private life. Now, look here. Don't pay attention to what they do with their public prayers. You pay attention to the results of their private prayers. Pay attention to what they do in private, because anybody can perform in public, private time, that has results. You want to have people that can get a prayer through that produce results. You know, people, you can be able to see the glory of God in their life, but also, even for you to be in prayer, to ask God, God, I'm considering going to this person. I'm considering recruiting this person as my prayer partner or whatever. God, what do you say about it? Always consult God about everything. Because what happened, you may get somebody and they may have a pretty word. They may know how to articulate this and that, but they may have a dirty spirit. Their heart may be cold. They might have an unrepentant heart. You want somebody that has a repentant heart, that's humble. You want to have somebody that you can get from God. Yes, that's a great candidate. Yes. Versus, no, I wouldn't use them. But God, this person has the position of so-and-so. No, It don't mean nothing. It don't mean nothing. How their walk with God, and did you consult God about them? Consult God. So, with that being said, yes, look at whatever you may be dealing with. Know that God can deliver you. God, look, God wants you to have confidence in him in that situation. But also, like I said, even confidence in yourself. If God gave you instructions to do something, you can do it. As long as you rely upon him and take specific instructions from him. One of this, I always talk about this, but the person I always look at pertaining to if I'm about to go somewhere or do something in life, and God has blessed me to be able to do some things I've never thought about I would be able to do. But it was only God that did that. You know, those that know me, I see my friend, Mr. Bowser. Man, love you, man. Love you. Those that know me, even from school, I've always had great wild ideas, but for me to enforce them, look here, I'm not a computer tech guy. I'm not. But God bless this kid, and I give you my testimony. God bless this little kid right here to first create a website. Yeah. And then for me to get the domain name that I wanted, brotherprater.com. And then for me to be able to write a book. Thank God for that. And then now, 2023, that was last year, but 2023 allowed me to be able to create a mobile app. I'm not speaking to be braggadocious or whatever that. What I'm telling you, the same God that did it for me, he can do it for you. What does God press upon your heart to do? Yeah, the devil going to try to bring doubt. Matter of fact, even when I wrote my first book, I'm like, God, can I? Do you want me to do it? He said, yes. What are you talking about? I said, God, what do I talk about? I want you to speak about what you see. Cause I was at work. I'm sitting at my desk. He said, what do you see? I said, all I see are men in the jail. He said, that's what I want you to write about. Because those men represent fathers in the jail. Though men represent fathers in the jail. Get this. Men, if men are in the jail, that means the fathers are out of the house. If men are in the jail, that means the husbands are out of the house. If men are the head of the house, if men are the priest in the home, that means the priest is leaving their congregations abandoned. So God wanted me to write to the men first to help them not just get out of the jailhouse, but being able to go back into their own house as well as the church house and thrive. Along with talking to the men, God told me to talk to the women too, talk to the family, because the fathers and the men can come back to the house. But if the condition is not conducive enough for the men to be welcome and take their priestly position, then it's going to be a conflict. So, yes, we can address the men and talk to the men, but we need to speak to the family, the women, too. Like, oh, wow. Yeah, so God allowed me to do that. And like I said, when I wrote that book, I'm like, God, you want me to write about fathers and men? And at the time, my son was 3 years old. 4 years old, I'm sorry. He was 4 years old. And what God wanted me to start writing about that? God, you sure? God, what do you want me to do? Okay. Well, I'm a new father. And God said, look, you just get the pen and paper and you just write down what I tell you. So even if at the time I didn't have confidence in me, but I had confidence in him. So what I learned is to be able to take instructions and let him do it. Like I said, the example I often think about, Noah was not a professional boat builder. But not only did he build something that was never created, but he built for something that never happened, rain. It never rained before. And for him to preach for 100-some-odd years that it was going to rain and continue to build this and build that, they made fun of him. But what he did, he took specific instruction that God gave him, and he implemented it and did it to the T. Same thing pertaining to you. Whatever God told you to do, don't deviate from what God told you to do. Do it. Do it exactly. If God told you to do something, you do it exactly the way he told you. Because when we obey God and do it exactly the way he tells us to, then it's under his warranty plan. It's under his warranty plan with no deductions from us. It just like, matter of fact, when I had my car, the engine started messing up. All of a sudden, I took it to the dealership and they said, oh, okay, yeah, it's a recall, and we got this. They paid for me a brand new motor. A brand new motor, yes. A brand new motor. Why? Because I took it to the manufacturer and found out that it was under warranty. Why? I did not break that warranty because whenever I needed something done to the car, I always went to the manufacturer. I'm not going to allow myself to break the warranty or the contract, because if I did, that means that all the expenses would be my responsibility, not their responsibility. So when you obey God, you put it under God's warranty, and he has to take care of the responsibility, not you. But when you try to do it your own way, then you got to fork out the expenses pertaining to everything. And then also, oftentimes, what we pay for ain't all of it. Because it's like, when you get this problem fixed, there's going to be another one, because it's linked to that particular thing. So that's why it's so important for us. It's so important for us to pay attention and realize that, yeah, this situation right here, God, I'm trusting you. You told me I need to do this. You told me I need to do that. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it your way, not my way. God, you're going to help me. I see that you're going to do it. I'm trusting that you're going to do it. I believe that you're going to do it. I don't care what it looked like. I'm trusting you. And if we do it, yes, he can take care of it. Yeah. Matter of fact, I thank God for everything. And like I said, this is something for us to be able to look at. God can deliver us from the doubt, the fear. Know that God did not give us the timidness, nor cowardness, but a power, love, and a sound mind. God can do that. God has done that for us. Fear, doubt. Doubt try to impress upon us our insecurities. But I want you to know, we shouldn't be insecure because of who we are. Why? We're God's child. We shouldn't be insecure. Don't you know God made us in his image and likeness? God has invested stocks, value into us, worth. But also the instruction that God gave us. God has given us the responsibility, and we can do it. We can receive, we can see God move if we allow him to move in our life. And so if there's anything that you may have in your life that's making you doubt God, hey, we're going to leave it at the altar. Like I said, write it down. Write it down. If you want to, reach out to me after the show. You can inbox me. You can text me, send smoke signals or whatever. You know, even on my app or website, whichever one you look at, yeah, you can reach out to me. Yeah, we can talk about it. We can have a conversation about this. Like one of the things I always say, I don't know everything. I don't. But one of the things I found out, whatever I don't know, hey, this is going to be a homework assignment. Because, hey, this is a learning thing for us, for all of us. But also it helps build relationships and responsibilities. So with that being said, Don't allow doubt God's ability. Don't allow doubt in God's ability or God or even the instruction God gave you. Don't allow doubt to creep in and paralyze you to make you miss you operating in the purpose and plan God has for you. Don't. God can help you. And if there's anything you doubt in, hey, no time to doubt. Trust God. Obey God. Make sure you consult God to make sure that you're listening to him. Make sure you're distinguishing between what he's telling you or what yourself is telling you. Make sure that you use confirmation, get confirmation that it is him. Make sure. No need to doubt. And like I said, if you're doubting, that doesn't mean you're a bad person. That doesn't mean that you ain't saved. That doesn't mean that you're weak. To be honest with you, sometime in life, we may be in a situation where we have not experienced or some place we may have been unlearned in. But letting that be an opportunity for us to learn and grow. Learn and grow. Look at all these as opportunities. And so with that being said, what we're going to do, we're going to get ready to pray. And whatever needs or situations or concerns that you have, we're going to give it to God. We're going to give it to God. We're going to trust God no matter what. It ain't our responsibility to worry about and stress. It ain't our responsibility. That's God's responsibility. Look, we're God's children. We're God's children. Why are we going to worry about something that God know the ending from the very beginning. What am I going to? No, no, indeed. God, this is your problem, not mine. No, indeed. Don't have, look here, that shouldn't even be under our radar. That's God's responsibility. Let God deal with that. I promise you, he can handle it better than you. Yes, indeed. And also, whatever it is, give it to God and leave it there. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you right now. We thank you, Lord, for your awesomeness. We come to you right now, God, we acknowledge your presence on today. God, we come to you right now, God. You see every need, every situation right now, God. We hold them up before you right now, God. In the name of Jesus. God, if there's any area of our lives, God, that we're lacking confidence, God, we speak it right now, God, that you build up our confidence, God. Build up our knowledge, God, in you and your abilities right now, God. In your nature, in your character right now, God. Help us right now, God, to even in the areas that there may be unbelief, God. God, we speak right now, God, to help us to believe that you can do it, God. Help us, God, to know who we are, God. Help us to know who you are and who we are in you right now, in the name of Jesus. Help us, God, even utilize it as an opportunity, God, for you to be able to show yourself strong on behalf of the believers, God, and for us to do our due diligence in studying your word, seeking your face right now, God. We're fasting and praying and studying your word, and for us to spend quality time with you right now, God, in the name of Jesus. God, we're speaking, God, any area of our lives, God, where there's doubt, where there's fear right now, God. Move it out right now in the name of Jesus. God, we're speaking right now, God, that you move in a hospital room right now, God. Be a healer for those who are sick right now, God, in the name of Jesus. God, those who may have legal issues going on, God. God, we speak, God, that you represent them in a courtroom right now, God. In the name of Jesus, show yourself strong right now, God, on the behalf of the believers right now, God. Move right now in the name of Jesus. And we're buying everything the devil stands for. We cancel the devil's assignment right now in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we thank you right now, God, for moving mountains, God. We thank you, Lord, for increasing our joy, God, increasing our peace, God. God, we thank you right now, God. In the name of Jesus, God, we're speaking right now, God, even for those who are grieving right now, God. Comfort them and be with them right now, God, in the name of Jesus. God, help them right now, God. Help their broken heart right now, God. Help their confused mind right now, God, in the name of Jesus. God, help them, God. Help them, God. Wipe the tears from their eyes right now, God. But also, God, let them know, God, it's okay to shed tears. It's okay to cry, God. Help them to understand, God, even right now, God. Give them permission, God, to grieve, God. Help them to understand, God, even with the process of grieving, God, they have permission to grieve, God. God, we're speaking right now, God, that you even center them around people, God, that's going to be healthy, God. Anybody that's going to speak anything against your word, God. Anybody going to say anything that's foolish, God. God, we're speaking right now, God, that you block that person from them right now in the name of Jesus. God, we're speaking right now, God. Those who may need a job, God, lead them to the right place, God. God, we speak, God, those who may be looking for a church home, God, lead them to the church home, God. Those who may be looking for a relationship, regardless if it's dating or friendship right now, God. Those who may have been hurt, God, by hurt in the past right now, God. God, we speak right now, God, to let them know, God, that you are a healer right now, God. In the name of Jesus, and even the love, God, that they want to experience, God, help them to understand, God, they don't have to doubt love, but, God, they can trust you, God, pertaining to love, God, pertaining to matters of the heart right now, God, in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we thank you right now, God. We thank you right now, God, for moving mountains, God. We thank you right now, God, for being a way out of no way, God. God, we thank you right now, God, for even moving on the job situation right now, God. God, we speak it right now, God, those who may be burdened down, God, those who may be depressed, God, thank you, Lord, for deliverance, God, delivering them from depression right now, God. God, we thank you, Lord, even for delivering them, God, from even placing harm upon themselves, God, even with their thoughts that they had, God. God, I thank you, Lord, for delivering them, God, and let them know they're valuable, God. Let them know that they're loved, God, not only by you, but by us right now, God. God, we thank you right now, God. to help them understand, God, the life is worth living right now, even though this situation that may be uncomfortable, God. But God, we speaking right now, God, that you're helping to hold on or hold out, God. Hold on to you right now, God, and know that it won't be like this always. God, help them to understand not to make a permanent decision in a temporary condition right now, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you right now, God, for giving them the joy, the peace, God. God, I thank you right now, God, for what you're doing right now, God. I thank you right now, God, for most importantly, God, for who you are, God. You are our Savior, our Redeemer, our Healer, our Waymaker, our Provider. I thank you for it right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for everything you've done, but most importantly, everything that you are. In Jesus' name we pray. We say amen, amen, amen. I thank y'all for watching this video. I hope and pray that there's something that was said to help, something that will help you to understand who God is, but also not only who God is, but who you are in God. It is so important. Yes, I want you, in case you want to even share a testimony, reach out to me. My name is Brother Prater. You can catch me on Facebook, Brother Prater, B-R-O-T-H-E-R, Prater, P as in Paul, R-A, T as in Tom, E-R. Y'all can catch me on Facebook. You will see my daily devotions and my videos. Also, you can go to my website or you can go to my mobile app. I'm available on Android and Apple, and it's free. No charge. It's free. You can go to my website or my app where you can see my daily devotions. Also, you can go to the calendar, the page that says calendar. It'll let you know what my personal appearances will be, which I will be speaking next Sunday, the 15th, at True Believers Tabernacle Church. If you go to my app or my website, you type in or you just put in the 15th. You see the 15th is lit. Just press it, and it'll give you the address. It's in Dallas, Texas, 4204 Cardinal Drive, Dallas, Texas, 75216. Also, if you go to the store section of my app, you will see my first book called A Few Good Men. A Few Good Men was written to inform men their needs and their responsibilities towards their family, their children, even their children's mother, regardless if they're with them or not. But also, I speak to the ladies to let them know the needs of men. And also, for women who may be potentially dating or looking for relationship, just whatever. Also, the second book called The Girl Who Was Her Brother's Keeper, The Love Beyond Life, is in dedication to my sister, Sheila Prater. And all I say is I'm one blessed young man. Two things before I forget. I failed to mention this before I started. I almost forgot about it. The first thing, just in case, thank God, a quick testimony. My phone was acting up, and I thought I was gonna have to buy another phone. And I went to this particular place, and this young man fixed my phone, and it was cheap. He is Big Al's. I want to make sure y'all see this. Big Al's Cellular Repair. Big Al's Cellular Repair. It's in the Duncanville area. Oh, excuse me, DeSoto. It's in the DeSoto area. Big Al Cellular Repair in DeSoto. I'm sorry. Big Al Cellular Repair in DeSoto, Texas. His address is 208 Southampton, Suite 108. Excuse me, Suite 102. I'm sorry. Suite 102. In case you want to call him, his number is 972-223-2615. That's 972-223-615. Please tell him Brother Prater sent you. Big Al, thank you for fixing my phone, and I'll be back to give you my other phone too. Also, last but not least, like I said, this coming up Friday will be my sister Sheila's 51st birthday. And I thank y'all so much for throughout the years. It's been 5 years since she's been gone. But I thank y'all so much for y'all love, y'all prayers. Even when I see y'all in public, so many of y'all still tell me stories about her and how much y'all love her and everything. And I am so honored. And I know some people, you know, they may be concerned to talk about certain things. And, you know, I want to tell you, hey, look, I welcome everything. I thank y'all so much for y'all love for our family, for my sister. I thank y'all so much. I'm honored. I love it. I love it. And yes, I know she was y'all friend. She loved y'all. And hey, just like y'all saw her as y'all friend, she was my friend. And one thing about it, I love Sheila dearly, and I thank God she knew it. I thank God for that. That's what makes me smile. And so with that being said, I want to say I'm going to definitely celebrate this week. Her birthday would have been Friday, and then mine would be next Monday. And I'm honored. I thank God for it. Yeah, this week, it's prayerful week. And be praying for, not just me, be praying for our family. Be praying for those who love Sheila. You know, not just the family, but there were people that were like family that love Sheila, that love us. And so with that being said, I want to thank each and every one of y'all. Number one, thank God for Sheila. Thank God for allow me to be her brother. Allow me to be her brother. Even though I was older by 362 days, but she was my big sister. And so, yeah, I thank God for the relationship. And I thank God for everything. And so, with that being said, I thank y'all for y'all continued prayers, love, and support. Thank you for watching Reconnect My Heart podcast. God bless you. And good night.